The scripture passage that President Trapp will be speaking on today is taken from 1 Thessalonians. And it reads, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all."
Wow, was it good to see you guys. I'm so glad you're back. I'm telling you, campus is silent in a way that just doesn't feel right to me when you're gone. So I'm glad you're back. And it's wonderful to have the community back in gear a little bit. Might be a little painful to get started. I always wanted a week more. No matter how long the break was, I always thought an extra week would be good. But here we are, and I'm delighted to be with you this morning. As usual, I really need you, just for a few minutes. So let's make sure we're off the grid, phones out of sight, out of mind, for just a few minutes, because we're not talking about meaningless things. We're talking about God's Word. But I have a question for you. Now that you're back, and I get to ask interesting questions. And the question this morning is, are you in love? Are you not sure? Do you want to be, and no, you're not? Are you lovesick? I want to give you a brief opportunity to assess your relationship. Some of you think you're in very mature relationships. Some of you actually are in mature relationships. Little assessment opportunity. Now, I have to apologize to my colleagues from psychology and counseling right now, because I understand this stuff, but at a very limited level compared to what they do. So if you think I'm really messing up, you're probably right. Talk to them. But there's a famous person who's a psychologist, but also writes a lot about communication, and his name's John Gottman. In fact, there's a major article that just came out in the Atlantic Monthly that references Gottman's work that I haven't had a chance to read yet, but because I'm interested, a colleague from Palm Beach Atlantic sent me an email this morning and said, "You have to read, there's a thing in the Atlantic on Gottman." And this is how Gottman can help you assess your relationship. It's called the Gottman 5-to-1 ratio. You should write this down. It will change your life. The Gottman 5-to-1 ratio. And here's how it works. If you want to do kind of a quick assessment of the health of a relationship from a communication perspective, what we kind of understand is if you're with someone, and at least there are at least 5 supportive conversations and comments as compared to every 1 critical one, you're in a real relationship and it's probably pretty healthy. If you go down to 4-1, this is not good. Go to 4-2, you're in serious trouble. 3-2, bad. So Gottman is, and this is descriptive. This is not something he's visiting on the cosmos. He's just describing. And he basically says, now what this means in practice is, what it feels like to have a 5-1 ratio in an intimate relationship is that you feel consistently supportive of one another. And it's not an easy life or an easy relationship, but you have confidence that the other person really cares. Because we don't express real care by constant criticism. And if you know anything about abusive relationships get really controlling, and the other person is trying to control you all the time. I don't like your hair, I don't like what you say, I don't like what you're doing. This is a meaningful, intimate relationship? Now, I want you to know, as a communication scholar, I think Gottman's 5-1 ratio, his work, he would tell you, is in intimate relationships, but it reflects a principle that God has built into the universe that I want us to think about a little bit today and that we hear in 1 Thessalonians. Our theme for chapel has been courage in Christ, and we're continuing that theme, but today we're going to take a little different perspective on that. Some of you, like me, have maybe heard sermons or talks about the one another's in Scripture. There are all kinds of one another's. Love one another, pray for one another, one another, one another. It's important. Today, if you heard the passage and if you look down at the text of the Scripture, you'll see that we're talking about a major one another in Scripture. Encourage one another. You see, courage is not a self-help activity. Courage is not a self-help virtue. Courage is not something that happens ordinarily alone. Courage is something that we must enact personally, but we don't do it alone. God made us in the image of God, and made us as social beings. We're together. We're built to live in relationships and families and communities. And God has so designed the universe according to the Scriptures that part of the call on your life and mine is to encourage other people. In other words, to give them courage, to help them have courage to face the issues of life. Encouraging someone, by the way, is what I often think of as a good, not nice activity. Courage is not trying to help somebody have a positive mental attitude. Courage is not saying nice things to people to make them feel better that may or may not be true. Let me give you an example. A number of us have had this kind of good, not nice experience with coaches. I've had one. I played high school football for Blackhawk High School, and we were playing in a game that would determine the championship of our conference that year. Now, in this game, we were playing at a place you may have heard of called Aliquippa. And I want to tell you that Aliquippa, as is true today for many of their opponents, was more talented athletically than Blackhawk. We were all kinds of things. We were tough, we were well coached, we were strong, but they were faster and they were quicker. The game was tied 0-0, and I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself. I know this has never happened to you if you're an athlete, but I was feeling a little sorry for myself because I had been playing just on offense because I had a knee injury at the beginning of the season, and my knee was starting to get better, and the guy that was playing where I ordinarily would have played got hurt, and now I was playing for the first time both ways in a long time, and it was a very intense game, and I really felt like I could hardly breathe anymore. And I came over to the sideline, to catch my breath. And the coach came right over to me. And he said, "Calvin, what are you doing here?" I said, "I can hardly breathe. I haven't been playing both ways." He said, "You are going in on the next play." And kicked me in the hind parts in a variety of ways simultaneously and really encouraged me to get back on the field. The story is about him. I will only tell you that something pivotal happened that I was involved in on the very next play, which cemented that story in my mind and heart forever. I will not tell you what happened. It's about Coach Hamilton, not about me. See, that the issue of courage is heart. Athletes, you've heard me talk to you. What do I tell everyone? I want to see people get better through the course of their season. And I'm looking for heart from Geneva athletes. I need to see heart from Geneva athletes. That's a team activity. We're called to encourage one another. And so I want you to think with me for a minute about who you're called to encourage and then how we're called to encourage in this passage in Scripture. Who are you called to encourage? Raise your hand if you're an interpersonal on Monday nights. Where's my class? Okay. Interpersonal communication. Monday night, we talked about this. Prime relationships. I'm not concerned about you encouraging strangers. That's not hard. The people you're called to encourage are people who are in the prime relationships of our lives. Those relationships are the relationships that we must maintain. Family. Who's in your family? Who are your roommates? Who do you work with that you can't fire? Relationships you must maintain, clients you must serve. And what are those relationships you most want to maintain, where you feel like there would be a tremendous loss if you lost this relationship that's voluntary, a friendship, a romance, that kind of thing? So we're called to encourage one another, the people we actually live with, the people in our prime relationships. And then this passage helps us look at how to do that, and it tells us three basic things. It says if you're going to encourage one another, first you have to concentrate. You really have to concentrate to encourage one another. Second, you need to construct. You need to be building. And third, you need to care. You need to take care. So you need to concentrate, you need to construct, and you need to care in deliberate ways. And so what does the passage say? Look at it with me. It says concentrate. It says be attentive. Pay attention to some things. Pay attention to the times and the seasons. The Apostle Paul says here, Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night. Most people, when Christ returns, most people are going to be surprised. And really surprised. Like finding somebody in your house at night who doesn't belong there. But he says, not so for you. Not for you. You're not going to be surprised. Why? Because you're going to be attentive to the times and the seasons. Now, how does that help us encourage each other? Well, it helps us to encourage each other, because to know the times and the seasons in our prime relationships is you know when people need to be encouraged. You're reading what's happening in their life, and you're attentive to that. In this segment of the passage, the apostle says, put on your armor. Put on the armor of God. The armor of God shows up a number of places. You might not have expected it in Thessalonians, but there it is. So be attentive and be prepared to encourage, because people need it. People need to be courageous, but we're not courageous alone. We're not courageous alone. Second, we need to not only be attentive together to times and seasons, we need to put on our armor together, which is what encouragement does, but we need to construct. We need to have a mindset of construction, of building others up. I want to be very clear. What Gottman says he observes is true in real life, and that is the people who encourage us most are not those insightful folks who are able to criticize everything we think and everything we do. We don't get courage from that. Coach Hamilton, on the sidelines in Aliquippa, did not critique me. He did not say, "You have a bad attitude, Trout," even though that would have been true at the moment. He didn't say, "You're letting your teammates down." He said, "You can do this. Get your hind parts out there on the field and do your job, and good things are going to happen." I want you to think about the limited value of you using terms like accountability to critique your closest friends. I want you to think about taking the next step. You know them better than anyone else. You see them, you understand the problem they're having, and if you love them, take the next step and help them know something constructive that they actually can do. And help them to do it. Don't diagnose, don't try to fix by critique. Critique's easy, listen to the news. What's hard is to build people, is to build people up, to encourage people and help them to have a heart for the life they're responsible for, the action they're responsible for, the things they should do. Now, in this context, look at what the apostle says. He says, you need to have respect for people who are in authority. This is dangerous water for a president to talk about. Here's the issue. The issue is our attitude towards authority, not positional authority. The issue is Christ authorizes everything, so there's no one in this room who can look anywhere but to Christ. And to recognize that Christ does authorize people to do work, and that we want to work alongside Christ to advance that labor for good in as much as we're able. And then it says, be at peace. Within the community of Christ, respect. Because authority cuts and moves in many different ways. Respect that and be at peace and do the work. The last thing we need to talk about briefly is we're called to encourage one another with great care. And you'll see at the end of the passage, the encourage comes to the faint-hearted. Encourage the faint-hearted. When have you been faint-hearted recently? And here's where courage and encouragement matter. Because if you're being attentive and you're prepared to be constructive, then what we need from you as you encourage us is to note not if we're the faint-hearted type. That's not what the scripture is talking about here. It's talking about when we become faint-hearted. And all of us have certain things that scare us or that cause anxiety, or we have situations that make us faint-hearted. And you can think about grief, and you can think about sorrow, and you can think about pressure, distress. And that's exactly when we need someone who loves us to encourage us, to come alongside and bear us up. I want you to think with me for just one moment about what a blessing it was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to have each other. I want you to think about, why did Jesus Christ send out the disciples two by two? Why is it that Paul's never alone on any of his journeys? He's always dragging people along with him, sometimes four or five. It's not just because he needed someone to write for him. The nature of our lives, the nature of our ministry, of our work, is a together thing, because it's hard and because we're never unopposed spiritually, and we need to encourage one another in the everyday callings. You need encouragement in your studies. You need encouragement in your work. So do I. None of us are that strong. Our courage, the scripture is teaching us here. Our courage comes, the substance of our courage is from Christ, and Christ comes alongside. The scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit as one who comes alongside, and we're to do the same thing with and for one another, to come alongside and encourage people who really need to be able to practice courage. And so courage comes to us through our companions, through our friends, through our family, through our community. Courage comes to us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Because we don't have to be afraid to the point of not being able to act in courage. Because as this passage says, Christ has come and Christ is coming again. And Christ will raise us, which allows us to have the courage to say, I'm going to do this and I might die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have the courage to do this. This is the right thing, and it's a good thing for me to do, and I might die. And if I die doing this thing, God is faithful, and He will raise us. He will raise us. He is powerful to do that. His blood is powerful to save. His resurrection is powerful to give us life eternally. He will encourage us. Let's join Him in encouraging one another. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, there is no good thing we have that has not been given by You. And this morning, we ask that You would give us courage in the face of the challenges that You have ordained for us to live in the midst of. Give us attentiveness to the times and seasons in the lives of those we love and care for and work with. Help us to build each other up and to take care of one another in the ways that You have taught us to. So, Lord, we ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear those in our lives that need encouragement, and to follow Your lead in actually doing that for the people that we love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.